W. Wallace, boogie check.
Check my boogie.
I am getting a boogular vibration from you. Yes, I am. Your boogular vibration registers about 9. Oh. Kid, are you there?
Yeah.
What is your name?
Jim Taylor.
Jim?
Kim. With a K, K-I-M.
Oh, Kim.
Yeah.
I don't like that name. Boogie check.
What are your measurements?
What are my measurements?
Yeah, I want to make you a string bathing suit.
Oh, you want me to... Oh, well, hey. My measurements are 42 and a half. You writing this down?
Yes.
19?
Yes.
And 45 as an RPM.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So John Records Landecker has been one of Chicago's most celebrated on-air personalities. Nearly 50 years ago, started his career on his high school radio station and began his longest stint on the air on WLS in 1972 and later on The Loop. John put out his autobiography called Records is Truly His Middle Name in 2013. And the newest edition, with new chapters, photos, and a lot more, will be released in October. And his life right now is just picking up awards. That's what he's doing right now. And his daughter, Amy, critically acclaimed actor and director Amy Landecker, is just about to kick off the fourth season of the Emmy and Golden Globe award-winning Amazon studio series Transparent. And John and Amy are joining us tonight. Hello to you both.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
I got to tell you, congratulations on Indiana's highest honor, the Sagamore of the Wabash. It was also John Records Landecker Day in Michigan City. And then this November.
What exactly is a Sagamore of the Wabash? I want to know.
So glad you asked. The Sagamore of the Wabash. Allow me to enlighten.
Okay.
From the state of Indiana, Council of the Sagamores of the Wabash, Eric J. Holcomb, governor of the state of Indiana, know all men by these precepts. Whereas the greatness of the sons of Indiana derives in part from qualities possessed by the noble chieftains of the Indian tribes which once roamed its domain. So that's the basis of it. That's the basis of it. And so you're like being, you're an honorary chief, so to speak.
That's kind of cool.
In the Sagamore Council of Indiana. You know, like in Kentucky, they give people honorary positions of colonel.
Right,
you heard
right.
about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is like that. Only
so basically, we stole your land and now in your name bestow awards on people?
Yes, but I did it with humanity, loyalty, wisdom, and inspiration. So let's not forget that.
Let's not forget that. That's awesome. Yeah, and then did you get a key to the city, too? Is that what you get when it's John Records Landecker Day? Is that what you get?
No, there are. I don't think. I don't think.
There's
Michigan
no keys in Michigan City.
I don't think they even have a lock. Quite frankly, I'm going to have to ask the mayor. But I think actually it's some sort of code you have to put in, like getting into a hotel room or something.
It's now digital.
You get an app on your phone.
You get a code.
You get the app to Michigan City.
And now, in honor of John Rex Landecker, your key code is 5824.
Right. Hashtag key.
Key. Hashtag key. I love it. That's awesome, man. Seriously, congratulations on all that. And then Radio Hall of Fame. That's mm-hmm. huge. And a long time coming, by the way.
Well, you know, I got to say about this state of Indiana thing, it's very personal. Amy would attest to the fact that I've loved Indiana from the time I was born. And the whole Records Truly is My Middle Name bit originates in Indiana with my grandfather and my mother. And I've been coming to the state for years and years and years and years, and I've done a lot of things here and did a lot of my growing up here. And I cried, okay, at the opening of Hoosiers, okay?
Yeah.
Because Gene Hackman is driving down this country road in a car that was very similar to the one my parents had. And the roads that he's on could have been leading to my grandfather's farm, because back like in 1952, 53, there were no interstate, so you'd be on the side highways and the country roads. So to find out, first of all, that there even was this award, since I didn't know that, and then to find out I was getting it was, I guess, flabbergasted.
That's cool.
Would that be a good term?
Did you know this award existed before you got it? I mean, did you know this was out there?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. They don't do it very often, I guess.
Okay.
Do they give it to women even though it says men?
That is a very good question,
Ooh.
Amy.
Yeah.
I have not asked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know another couple of.
I'm going to start a riot.
I know a couple of radio people would have won it before, though. You know who Bob and Tom are in Indianapolis?
Yeah,
they've
absolutely.
Won it apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. Very good.
For whatever that's worth.
But then Radio Hall of Fame. I mean, that's the big national thing. And you know, first of all, you're young guys, so getting all these awards. I mean, it seems a little early in your career because you're still doing it. I mean, you're still doing it on a radio station. I think on Fridays, right?
Yes, and would do it on a lot of others if anybody wanted. The Hall of Fame thing, that makes far more sense to me personally than the Sagamore Award. Does that make any sense? I mean,
sure.
I know
it's your life's
I was,
work.
You know, I know I was a success in radio as a WLS, as a lot of people were. But this Indiana thing is very touching. I guess that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah,
touching.
It's a little more personal.
You know, Amy and I have both been in the Radio Hall of Fame Museum on North State, and we were in there, I think, a couple of years ago doing Tony Lozano's podcast.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And we walked through the area where all the inductees are displayed, and Amy goes, "How come my dad's not on this wall?"
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, damn straight.
So I thought to myself, well, I guess that is a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know,
I'm so excited and proud, and I cried when I found out because my dad's like the most humble person on the planet in a lot of ways.
Yep.
I mean, countered with a massive ego, but let's say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that evens out. That evens out, so you're perfectly balanced.
You are balanced.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, right, but, you know, I just feel like he doesn't even know. The Sagamore thing makes sense to me. Like, I don't think he even knows the effect that he's had on people's lives. My only regret as a Hollywood elite Sean Hannity's also being inducted that night. So I'm bringing my Hollywood elite boyfriend, and we're gonna try to come and protest.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna do anything to embarrass my dad.
But here's something.
You have to confirm whether he's gonna show or not.
I think
I don't know if he's
true.
Coming.
I think maybe. He is coming.
Maybe we'll accept the award on his behalf.
Well, that'd be nice.
But one thing I have learned over the past few years, and a lot of it has to do with hanging out with Amy and that whole Hollywood thing, is there's a lot of politicking and jockeying around and influence peddling when it comes to getting awards, whether it's State of Indiana, whether it's Hall of Fame, whether it's an Emmy, whether it's an Oscar, whether it's a, I don't know. There's just a whole big machinery going on around about it. And as far as I understand, I found out that the Marconi Awards for radio, if you want to, you have to enter yourself. Okay?
Mm, okay.
Which I thought was the most stupid thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I deserve a Marconi. I think I'm going to write myself up here. I'm going to tell all the good things there are about me and send it in. So people aren't even, in some cases, choosing you. You're choosing yourself, so
that's
to speak.
That's kind of odd.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. Well, I mean,
let's talk about Amy.
we can do that. We can do that. Well, I want to ask Amy, you and I are close to the same age. Like in the 70s, did you know how big your dad was in radio and just this massive media? Yeah.
I knew he was a big deal when we went to Great America for the first satellite. I think he did like the first remote broadcast or something when it was like new technology.
Yeah.
And I was like 8 or something. And I got to we had a special person who like walked us around and we got to go like into this special house for VIPs, and we got to skip the line, and there would like be thousands of people to see my dad do his show at night, and I'd get to strut up in front of everybody and get security let me through, and he'd give me $20, and I thought I was like the hottest thing on the planet. I mean, it was really funny. It was a huge deal to me at the time. I was like, my dad's really famous.
That's cool.
And
yeah, that's cool.
I am the coolest kid, and I got total access, and people were like, is that your dad? It was like, it was unbelievable. So that was probably the first time I really knew, you know, And then there was like the night that John Travolta called our house and asked if my dad came into my bedroom to say John Travolta wants to say hi. And I was like too tired and I didn't get up and I regretted it for like 30 years. So then he had John Travolta call me another time and we had a bad connection. I couldn't.
Oh, no. That was like the Woodfield thing. Wasn't that the Woodfield Mall thing?
Yeah. Well, that was the first time. That was the other thing. Oh, my God. Right. When John Travolta first learned how famous he was with my dad and all like 30,000 people showed up.
That's where that whole relationship, if you want to call it that, started, was at the Woodfield Mall. All these phone calls happened after that.
Well, that's kind of who, I mean, just from a fan, that's who I discovered who you were. Is I was like 10, 11 years old, whatever it was at the time, and I saw that was happening, and I thought, man, this guy, he's with the guy from Welcome Back, Kotter. This is pretty cool.
I know. He must be something special. He knows John Travolta.
And then we got to meet, like, you know, the stars of Star Wars, and I got to see Kiss without their makeup. And
yeah.
I was on stage when the Bay City Rollers were, when girls were, we were on, Sean Cassidy sang "Did You Run, Run" to me on stage.
Look at that. Wow.
I mean, I definitely had Heart, like, at one of the members of Heart, I think it was Ann, asked me to sit on her lap after the concert. I mean, I was lucky. I was a lucky, lucky kid. It was really fun.
It sounds like you got a book coming.
Yeah, maybe I do.
Well, roles have reversed now.
Yeah, that's true.
I go with Amy. I get to hang out at the White House with Katherine Hahn.
You're coming tomorrow.
You're hobnobbing, man.
Yeah, I'm coming tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to go to Emmy parties all weekend, and he's going to, rub elbows with Hollywood elite for the whole weekend.
That's very cool.
Celebrating the Emmys.
That's awesome. We're going to find the latest, what's going on with Amy, and we'll find out next. We're talking to radio legend John Landecker and actor-director Amy Landecker, and there's more with them next on 720 WGN. And we want you
to sleep well tonight. Have you lost count of your sexual partners?
Let the world turn without you tonight.
My family lies a lot because everyone's like in everybody's stuff, so you tell a lie and you can have some privacy.
Dave Flyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to future Radio Hall of Fame inductee John Records Landecker and actress Amy Landecker. So, Amy, you got to be excited about the fourth season debut coming this Friday on Transparent.
You know, I was excited, and then we did the press junket, and I'm reminded of all the crazy stuff I did this year, and now I don't want my dad to watch the show.
what can you tease us on that? Because I know there's like some spiritual journey your family took.
Oh, yeah. No, mine's not a spiritual journey. I go into a storyline about polyamory, which might not be something you're familiar with, but
I can guess.
Otherwise known as a threesome.
Oh.
And also amphibians. Frogs are allowed to come in.
Okay.
It's very exciting.
Have you seen this already, John? Have you seen the first episode?
I have seen the first two episodes. I have to say, though, the beginning of the first episode is one of the funniest things I have ever seen.
That's awesome.
It is so unbelievably hysterical. The whole concept and the way they pulled it off is just comedy at its best. I mean, it's just crazy funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I've seen that. And then the second episode.
Did you have to close your eyes? You just put a pillow over your head and just leave the room? What'd you do?
Well, I've been doing that all along as Amy's been going through her career.
How did you get the first two episodes? Did I send them to you?
I was at the screening.
Oh,
wait a minute. Hold on a second. No. You gave me the link. I watched them.
Oh, don't say. Yeah, that's right. I gave you the link. Forgot. Yeah. I gave him my link. I was like, wait a second. How did you even see this? Yeah, it's pretty much. It's a lot. We're doing a very progressive show with progressive storylines and a lot of love scenes, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And my character is one of the most sort of progressive characters.
Sure.
I assure you, I am not dad, and I know nothing of what I am performing. But I am an actress, and I'm on a wonderful show, and I'm expressing the storylines of the writers to the best of my abilities, and it's really fantastic. It's an incredibly great show, but it's just like, this might be the year where I ask, you know, my mom and dad to skip a couple episodes.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, you know, I was going to say, there's a lot of subject, you know, from what I've heard, and I haven't seen them yet, but a lot of relevant storylines. I mean, really to what's going on, even politically right now.
Well, it's an interesting, we never directly really address, it's more metaphorical. I mean, Jill Soloway, the creator, we go into Israel, Palestine this year, and it's sort of an interesting, I think the idea was, you know, we're in a divided country and deeply divided, and we all seem to be like, I know I'm digging my heels in on my side, and never shall I cross the line. You know, there's a lot of like going into our corners. And I think we're trying to look at how to not let anger and divisiveness win, you know, on any side, but to keep the conversations open and to hopefully, you know, allow us all to find common ground and find a way to understand each other. I mean, it's been very heartbreaking. I'm not, you know, I have to say, like, I work with a lot of trans people who are really wonderful, incredible, beautiful human beings who I care about deeply now. And I didn't have access to this community before. And I've become firmly sort of entrenched in a lot of activism around it because I've gotten to know some of my favorite people I've ever met. My dad's come out. He knows them, too. It's very different when you know people.
Sure.
It's extremely different. You can have one idea from something you've heard or the general concept, and then you meet a human being and you love the human being, and the human being is a human being who deserves to be feel safe and protected and respected like any other human being. And it starts to feel very urgent right now to continue to advocate for the group of people that are really just misunderstood and not represented well with the current administration.
So. And it took Amazon to do it. I mean, you're not seeing this on TV. You're not seeing this on cable, Netflix.
Yeah,
it's Amazon that put this in the forefront and put Amazon.
Well, the thing about, you know, risk-taking, and Jeff Bezos is, you know, sort of one of the most genius risk-takers we've ever seen in the history of the planet. You know, he said yes to something that every other network said no to, that we weren't ready to see. And not only were we ready to see it, there was a real hunger to see it. There's a thirst to see it. There's a lot of families who need the story told so that they can connect to each other and show each other and, you know, gather around and talk about this stuff. And
not feel like they're alone. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I applaud Jeff Bezos for, you know, and the programming over there for taking the risk on it. You know, it's been, and I'm so happy that people have felt so connected to it. I mean, we did some live stuff in New York yesterday, and there's just like crowds of people who just feel so so represented. So, and it's not just LGBTQ. It's also incredibly like family show, Jewish show, but just a great television show. I mean, I watch shows about stories that have nothing to do with me, like Breaking Bad or Mad Men, or, you know, I'm watching Narcos right now. There's these wonderful, like a great story is a great story is a great story, you know, and this show is a great story. And you can be anything and still enjoy this show.
And you got a fifth season coming. Are you already into that already?
We do.
Yeah,
thank
that's
God,
cool.
I still have a job. Yay!
Is that how you think about this?
Yeah, I have a job.
Now, let me ask you, did you think about, and now you're doing this for a living, I know you hit Hollywood, what, about 10 years ago, you were kind of thinking about broadcasting at first, weren't you? I mean,
auditioned to be a traffic person in Chicago. My dad just sent me a tape of an audition tape.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I definitely, and my dad and I still talk about doing a podcast together. I'd love to do something with him. And
That'd be fun.
I was in voiceover.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. Yeah,
voiceover paid my bills for many years. And
sure.
So I've always felt the most comfortable in a studio. I grew up in a studio. I work in a studio. The hardest part about this new life of mine is the on-camera portion of it and the makeup and the hair and the BS. Like, I hate all of that.
Yeah. But you're doing Troll Hunters, too, now on Netflix. And that's like...
I know. Yes. It's so fun. I love that stuff. It's my first animated series. And it's the funnest job on the planet.
Most successful Netflix original show to date that has targeted a younger audience. That's a pretty big accomplishment.
Seriously?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, look at that.
I didn't even know that.
Okay, and wait a minute. And your voiceover, you do voice, or you did voiceover double work for Julia Roberts. Is that true?
I did, yeah. You know, there's this secret job out there that no one knows about, but a lot of actors have to do post, what they call ADR. Dad, do you know what that stands for? Because I can never remember.
Additional dialogue recording.
Okay.
There it is.
All right.
And okay. You would know. If you're on set and the sound is bad for whatever reason,
yeah. You
go into a studio and you re-record it. And a lot of times, actors that are as famous as Julia Roberts are already on to another
movie
when the post is being done. So they find voice doubles. And you're basically placed into the movie as the actor, and you never know it's someone else's voice. And so I can sound exactly like Julia Roberts.
All right, all right. Let's test this out. Give me a Dave. I must tell you, you have a face for radio.
Okay. Oh God, it's hard because I do her lines. Basically, it's like my voice, but gravelier with a little bit of Southern. So it's like, Dave, you have a face for radio. That's
oh my
Julia
God,
Roberts.
That's fantastic. See, for radio, my eyes are closed already, and I hear Julia Roberts. That's pretty awesome.
What happens with this, though, is it's not out of context like that. There'll be a scene, Julia Roberts is saying something, they'll cut away from Julia Roberts, Julia Roberts' dialogue will continue, it'll go back to Julia Roberts, and it's Amy that's in the middle.
That's crazy.
And you're not thinking at all that anyone else is talking, so you accept it completely. It's not just plucked out of the sky.
I also couldn't even, I did a trailer of hers that was almost all me, and I questioned even myself if I was me or her. Like, you know, when you're in the context, you're right, Dad. Your brain accepts it. And I'm like, wait, is that me? Is that her? Like, but it's interesting. She did America Online for years, and my dad called me to congratulate me on the new voiceover campaign I got.
That's awesome.
And I found out who it was, and it was Julia Roberts. And I was like, wow, I must sound like Julia Roberts if my own father thinks that's my
that's
campaign.
Awesome.
So I called my agents in L.A. and I said, I know I can sound like her. And so when there was a voice match, which is what they call it, that we're looking for a voice match for Julia Roberts, I auditioned, got that first job. And then once you're kind of known as doing her well, they start to hire you more. I don't do it anymore because I'm actually too busy with my own career, which is a miracle.
That's cool.
I was going to do the last one that Jodie Foster, that's I was going to go into studio with Jodie Foster and do that one. And that she did with George Clooney, and I couldn't do it because I was shooting, and so someone else has taken over my...
What do you like more? Do you like being in front of the camera? Do you like doing... Yeah, you're directing, you're acting, and you're doing voiceover.
I've also written a couple of scripts that were sold but not made yet, but I definitely
have
all the things. I feel... Well, first of all, I take voiceover over an on-camera job any day. I just... on-camera's, like, so boring.
It's interesting to hear. Okay.
I mean, it's where all the money is.
Yeah.
Prestige and all the power, but it's not anywhere near as fun and easy as voiceover. And then, the directing thing, I mean, I'm a newbie. I'm probably, you know, way more confident than I should be. But I absolutely loved it. I hope people might find on Funny or Die, I did a series of shorts that are called The Lost Sessions, Transparent.
Yeah.
And basically they're small little life coaching sessions with this incredible improviser, Carrie Aisley, and all of the stars of Transparent appeared. And my dad's actually working on the outtakes sessions, which we'll post after we premiere. He's compiling.
Oh, that's cool.
There's so much great content and so much great footage. And I'm still editing the current ones. And I said, well, Dad, he was like, God, there's so much great stuff on here. I said, well, hey, do you want to put together the outtake sessions?
That's awesome.
It's really fun. And people are really loving them. I'm super excited about it. They seem to really make people laugh, which is an incredible feeling.
It's a destination for comedy, Funny or Die. I mean, it just is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like we're being labeled funny and not dying. So that's good.
That's awesome. I'm so thrilled for both your successes, man. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, John Records Landecker being inducted to the National Radio Hall of Fame on Thursday, November 2nd. to see John, to meet John, for tickets, visit radiohof.org. The latest edition of his book, Records Truly Is My Middle Name, coming out in October. And see Amy Landecker in the season premiere of Amazon original series Transparent this Friday. And, of course, follow them both on Facebook. Guys, again, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again. Thank you. All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.